Cinco de Favo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere. And Evan, we are going to tribute Tommy DeVito right here.
Perfect. Go ahead.
All right. I'm here to give you the five greatest moments of Tommy DeVito's Giants career as it ends.
That's an interesting one because Tommy, you know what? I'll save the diatribe for after the Cinco de Favo. Yeah. But here it is, the five, what'd you call it?
The five greatest moments of Tommy DeVito's Giants career. I also want to say I planned on coming with prop today.
Right.
And I know my wife is usually in the car. And honey, just know this. I know what you did. I believe my Tommy Cutlet sweatshirt was donated at some point this summer to the Salvation Army.
Really?
I went to where it was hung up, where I left it last winter. I was planning on wearing it today. Gone. And she put two clothes bags together all a couple weeks ago. And I think it's gone.
But don't you think that's a good wife who paid attention to the fact that Tommy DeVito's fourth on the depth chart?
No.
He's going to be cut.
No.
What do we need this for?
I think that's a wife that thinks I own way too much Giants, Rangers, Nets, and Yankees paraphernalia. My Masahiro Tanaka jersey. Can't find it either.
Wow, Tanaka.
They always do that. They always take your
stuff. Leave my stuff alone.
Always.
And now I can't find it, and it was a perfect day to wear it.
I'll tell you, I would appreciate my wife taking that Mikal Bridges jersey and donating it. That'd be great.
It's gone. All right. My five greatest moments of Tommy DeVito's Giants career. Here we go.
Here we go.
Number five.
How about getting the biggest ovation of any Jets or Giants player introduced in uniform at the NHL Stadium Series after the 2023 NFL season? Saquon and Quinnen Williams even got less of a deplore.
No, that is true. I do remember that. Tommy DeVito was a superstar.
Yeah.
And Giant, Jet, Islander, Ranger fans were treating him as such.
All right. Here we go.
Number four.
Three touchdown passes versus the Washington Commanders as he puts up 31 points in a win in 2023. It was one of only two times in 2023 the Giants would score 30-plus points.
No, absolutely.
All right, here we go.
I love number three.
Evan's like, when did he play the Commanders?
Well, no, I'm actually letting your Cinco breathe instead of having to comment on everything. Right. Isn't that good?
Yeah. Sometimes, though, when you give that, like, did that happen? All right, here we go. Number three.
You read me so wrong.
Number three.
Not throwing a single pass versus the Jets, and yet almost beating them. However, the loss inevitably helped the Giants get Malik Nabers by putting him in draft position. So Tommy DeVito not throwing a pass in a game led to Malik Nabers. It's a great moment.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Number two.
My biggest memory from that day, forget about my reaction or anything from the game, is Joe Beningo doing the Victor Cruz dance as he left MetLife Stadium early.
Cruz dance.
Because I think he left when they were losing.
Yep.
Before the drive that set up the game tying field goal.
He did. He didn't have the right to dance there. I, meanwhile, put a hood up and ducked into a bus because I didn't want to be seen.
Yeah, you were at your worst and most depressed stage.
That was bad. All right, here we go. What are we up to? Two. The touchdown pass to Isaiah Hodgins when they beat the Packers on Monday Night Football.
Now, according to Tommy Lugauer, one of the great moments in the history of the New York Giants.
And yet, it's not even Tommy DeVito's greatest moment in Giants.
Well, what is his greatest moment?
Number one.
Being in a Super Bowl commercial with Giant great Tiki Barber following the 2023 season. Tommy DeVito was in a Super Bowl commercial. That's how big a star had grown.
Didn't? And I'm surprised this isn't number one. Even though it is a little selfish to you and the radio station, Boomer and Geo did an event with Tommy DeVito and Cheese. And didn't he, like, make a baked potato on your stomach or something?
I mean, first of all, this story is way off.
I'm way off.
He turned me into a humid chicken cutlet parmesan.
Okay.
I was rolled around a breadcrumb. That is not one of the greatest moments of Tommy DeVito's career. Not one of the greatest moments of my career. It was a really fun and entertaining moment that the audience loved. But, you know, select crowd got to see it. That's how can I call one of the great moments of his Giant career?
When did Boomer and Geo do that event with Tommy DeVito?
I believe it was in like April 2024 after the 2023 season.
The Boomer and Geo event is an awesome event. You've been a part of it
Boomer
a few
Geo
times.
Live, yep.
But we're starting to see a trend here. Tommy DeVito, Jose Iglesias, Joe Douglas.
Oh my God.
If you're a New York personality involved in the event, you're going to get canned within a year and a half. So, Sean, don't check your cell phones in the next couple weeks.
Oh, no.
I think DeVito might be the answer.
You may be next.
So I'm the answer to the Craig question.
Wonder what Craig's doing these days.
I'm the answer. Oh, no.
I mean, am I wrong about that? Joe Douglas was there with the whole Aaron Rodgers stuff when he kind of admitted, yeah, we're going to get him
before
they got him.
Yeah.
Douglas is now unemployed by the Jets. They got rid of him. Tommy DeVito baked a chicken cutlet on you.
Yeah.
And, of course, Jose Iglesias was doing the OMG stuff, never re-signed with the Mets.
No, you're right.
So you're screwed, bro. So is Peter Schwartz. Boy, you guys are done.
Was Cal Clutterbuck done?
Yeah, he post. That's why he was available.
Yeah, yeah, that one doesn't. Okay. That one will not qualify. But good try.
All right, I didn't know.
Dude, we already have three.
I'm
isn't
not
that
trying.
Enough?
I'm just trying to think of. Yes, I guess I'm trying. There you go.
What about Boomer or Geo at that point?
No, they're not a part of the curse.
Oh,
they do the show. It's the New York prominence that then end up going away. That's three guys. Joe Douglas, Jose Iglesias, and Tommy DeVito.
Intellectually bankrupt.
It could be me, which is why I'm going to encourage everybody to download and subscribe to One Giant Step at Real Podcast.
Could be Peter Schwartz. I mean, he's involved in it too. I think one of you guys is dead.
Schwartz lost the arena football game.
You think that counts as far as this curse is concerned?
If it means relieving me of my curse, it counts.
All right. Fair enough. Thank you very much. Was that number one?
Yes.
I'm just kidding. Tommy DeVito is a fascinating guy. Because what he shows you is our desperation. That's what Tommy DeVito shows. When I think of, hey, how do I give the proper kind of statement on the end of Tommy DeVito's time here? What's it called? The obituary? Or maybe the speech at the funeral?
The post-mortem?
Yeah, obituary.
The obituary.
Obituary.
Still not saying it
obituary.
Right.
Obituary.
The obituary.
No.
The obituary.
Thank you.
There you go.
Very good.
Thank you very much. When you give the proper obituary on Tommy DeVito's career with the New York Giants, here's what it shows you. We are desperate. We are a desperate bunch. And I want to name two other guys that fit in to this Tommy DeVito desperation discussion. One is Mike White. Mm-hmm. The other is Jeremy Lin.
Great call.
Mike White and Jeremy Lin and Tommy DeVito had brief moments during a time of pain, of success. And we, as desperate Giant fans, Jet fans, and Knicks fans, made it something far bigger than it ever was. Now, I will admit, in the case of Lin and in the case of DeVito, I think their identity had a lot to do with it, too.
Yeah.
Jeremy Lin is an Asian kid who went to Harvard University.
I'm Evan Roberts, and I have a major, major case of Linsanity!
I don't know when I did that. Please delete that. Tommy DeVito is an Italian from New Jersey.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's any denying the story of Jeremy Lin and the story of Tommy DeVito contributed to the love affair. And I respect the hell out of that. Mike White had none of that. He was just some dude from Florida. Yes. Really? You know what he had going for him? He wasn't Zach Wilson.
Exactly.
But I think those three guys kind of fit the bill of it was cute, it was quick, and it gave us hope. It gave us this belief.
Three beaten fan bases that were just looking for something to cheer about.
And you thought for a second, because I remember what I said about Mike White, and I'll say it again. I said, wouldn't it be something that the franchise who has been so desperately looking for a franchise quarterback finally finds it out of nowhere like Mike White?
Mm-hmm.
It just felt fitting. Wouldn't it be something for the New York Knicks who had just traded for Melo, who had signed Amari, that the superstar they find is the discarded Jeremy Lin, who another team, I think it was the Houston Rockets prior to them signing him, got rid of? This kid who went to Harvard. This kid becoming a superstar. Tommy DeVito, the Italian guy from New Jersey.
Oh.
I think that's what added to their intrigue. But those three gentlemen, Mike White, Tommy DeVito, and Jeremy Lin, not so different after all. Thank you. Thank you.
They're not. And I'd like to further add on to that because I've seen this today and this has gone on for 2 years. And Tommy brought this up about Tommy yesterday. There's still a portion of the Giants fan base that is almost angry at Tommy DeVito because of winning those games and playing the Giants out of draft position, right? Like, we know these people exist. We talked to them. For any of those out there, today is not the day to go, you cost us Jaden Daniels. The kid, against all odds, got to play quarterback for his local team and have a couple moments. It is not his fault that he derailed the Giants out of a top pick. It's the Giants' organizational fault. Tommy DeVito deserves a round of applause because he did something we could only dream of, and I wish him the best.
By the way, I blame all of you for this, but I do thank Scones for bringing it to my attention. The word I was looking for was eulogy.
Yeah, but you still write an obituary.
Yeah, but it's not what we're doing. We're doing a eulogy. So thank you for giving us the word, but Scones, you could have had that information 3 minutes ago.
No, I know. Eulogized him.
We eulogized him.
I think it's also important to make sure that everyone knows he's not dead.
No, it's just his career with the Giants is dead.
Well, and also, well, it may not be dead.
No, too. Yeah, yeah. You come back on the practice squad. You're right. And you never know. Guys can get hurt. He can reemerge. The Jets could simply sign him. Absolutely. So I understand there's still that possibility it's going to work out. But I got a spoiler alert for you. When Jeremy Lin wasn't a New York Knick, but was a Houston Rocket, or dare I say a Brooklyn Net, I try to make believe that did not happen, you knew the Magic wasn't going to be recreated. When Mike White signed with Miami, as much as I feared, or really Beningo feared, he's going to come back and kill us, he never did.
Yes.
The Magic wasn't going to be recaptured. And I can make you this promise about Tommy DeVito, and I feel bad saying this. I wish him nothing but the best. The Magic's never going to be recaptured.
I think he'd be a capable backup, but it won't
that's
be the Magic.
That's fine. Yeah. He's not going to recapture any kind of Magic. So I think what you said is very sweet. I think it is unfair when we blame teams or players for doing their job well because we equate it to, but look at the draft stock. That's not Tommy DeVito's job to worry about drafting the guy who's going to replace him. So I understand the mixed emotions about it. Like, hey, as a fan, we knew we sucked. I'd rather lose games. I want the top pick. Like, we have this argument every single year. We'll probably have it about the Jets after they lose week one, because I am sure that's what Sean Morash and Tommy Lugauer are going to force down my throat after the Steelers win week one. You know, you guys should tank. You guys should tank. You guys should tank.
No,
you guys should tank. You're going to shove that down my throat. It's going to be obnoxious. But it's not the player's fault.
No, it's
and
not.
So I thought that was beautiful. So do you want to give him the round of applause? I'll join you.
Yeah, let's give Tommy DeVito a round of applause. And Tommy, I look forward to you working with me here on The Fan in about 10 years.
Yeah, that's one of my long-term predictions. That Tommy DeVito, was that your long-term prediction?
Yes, it was.
I think we were trying to long-term predict, like, after Boomer retires.
That's the athlete that will work here.
Yeah, it's going to be Gio and DeVito.
Yeah, I mean, Gio might be a golfer, but Morash and DeVito.
No, he's not. He's going to be here forever. He could golf in the afternoon. Gio and DeVito. Well, who was the other athlete we were thinking about?
I forgot.
There was somebody else who we were like, oh, that makes sense, too.
CeCe?
Sauce.
Sauce.
It was
okay.
Sauce. Nah, CeCe could have done it. He hasn't. He's not doing it. It's Sauce Gardner. That's the other, like, current professional athlete. Much like Boomer became a radio star, Tiki became a radio star, Willie Colon does a fine job filling in. Like, I'm just projecting into the future. The two guys to keep an eye on as New York FAN radio hosts in the long-term future is Tommy DeVito and Sauce Gardner.
I like that person.
Anybody I'm forgetting?
How about Josh Hart? I think Hart would be wonderful.
God, that might be Rosenberg's best point in 365 days.
I'll tell you why it's not. He won't adapt. And, oh, no, he's a Yankee fan. You're right.
Yeah.
Okay.
He actually could work. You got it. Look, he usually stinks when he turns on the microphone. That's a great job by Paulie.
Yeah.
I'm kidding, Paulie.
Yeah, no, you're right about that part. Josh is a good one. I don't know, and maybe I'm just like unfairly looking at Josh this way. I can see Sauce Gardner, despite making a lot of money, saying, dude, I want to do sports talk radio. Like, I'm into it. I'm in New York now. I'm all about it. I can see Tommy DeVito as a local kid saying, hey, I'm all about it. I kind of got the feeling that Josh Hart, when his career's over, is going to go live on an island.
Well, no, he's doing the roommate show with Jalen. He's already in the sports media space.
Have you ever heard him on the roommate show?
No.
Have you? So you haven't?
No, I've not.
Look, Josh is a really funny guy. He is boring as hell. He puts you to sleep. He doesn't have it.
And Jalen's too good.
Jalen's not.
Agreed. I agree with that.
Nah. Yeah. Nah. I don't.
Jalen will go work on WIP.
That's right. He'll do Philly Sports Talk Radio. Finally get rid of that overrated Spike Eskin. Jalen will take his job. Let's go to some of your phone calls. Let's go to Mark in Southern California. What's up, Mark?
Hello, gentlemen. Just sitting up here celebrating my 30th wedding anniversary today.
Wow. Good for you, man. Good for you.
You know, actually, I have to give her all the credit to put up with me, to be honest with you, because I'm always a trip. So that's how that works. But you know how us males are. Sean, before I get you to tell a Swift thing, Sean, remember about 3 weeks ago, I said to you, the Giants are going to be far better than most people think. Now, you look at everybody today. They're saying it now, the same thing I said.
Yeah. Let's hope they're all right.
You, Evan, the Taylor Swift thing, I think she's kind of old-fashioned. I think she's going to take the Kelce last name and use it for incognito in case she want to go somewhere and don't want to be to discover. So I think she's going to be the day.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to work that way.
Mark, if you see Taylor Kelce on a restaurant or hotel list, we're going to know exactly who it is.
Nah, you got to get more creative. Like, the most infamous one is probably Ronnie Mexico. Do you remember Ron Mexico?
I don't.
You don't know Ron Mexico?
I don't.
Sometimes you surprise me with what you don't know.
I shock myself.
Do you know who Ron Mexico was?
No, I don't. Never heard of that name.
Now I'm afraid I'm making this up in my head.
I'm guessing it was a hotel-less baseball player.
No, football player.
Football player, okay.
Michael Vick.
Ron Mexico?
Yeah, wasn't it Ron Mexico? Can you look that up?
Doesn't even... Yeah, sure. I'll be right next to you on a computer. I'll do that.
Let me know.
No problem.
By the way, who texted us?
Good job by you, Evan. Ron Mexico was a pseudonym for Michael Vick.
Thank you very much. Who texted Sean and I saying, in what way am I screwed?
Bro.
I don't have that number in my phone.
Can you save some phone numbers? It's Peter Schwartz.
Oh. Was he not listening to the segment? The reason... I don't want to rewrite this. The reason I said he was screwed is that there's a list now of guys in New York sports who were at Boomer and Geo Live who ended up losing their job. Joe Douglas... Tommy DeVito just got added to it, and Jose Iglesias. So I made a joke that Sean is screwed because he's been at Boomer and Geo Live, and then I threw Peter Schwartz in because Peter does a great job there, too.
Yes.
How did I have to re-describe? Was he not listening to the segment?
Well, Evan,
or did he tune in like right at the part where I said, Evan, Peter Schwartz is screwed? Maybe that's what he did. He just tuned in the radio, and all the first thing he heard was Evan say, Peter Schwartz is screwed. He's probably like, what the hell? Why am I screwed?
You need to come take a radio course of mine at Ione. I could teach you a few things. You've already said pay the bills today. You never say that. Number two, the radio audience tunes in constantly. All it takes is one press at a button.
No, but I thought it was all connected in the same sentence. Unless you tuned in as I was using the phrase.
Happens all the time. Somebody's tuning in right now. Has no idea what we're talking about. And right now.
Yeah, well, I just re-described it.
Right
Joe
now.
Douglas, Tommy DeVito, and right Jose now. Iglesias all were at recent Boomer and Geo Live events, and they got, you know, in essence, they all got fired.
Great.
Like, if you really think about it, because DeVito got cut, so he was fired. Joe Douglas was fired, and the Mets literally didn't want Jose Iglesias back.
You're fired.
That was a firing.
Yeah.
So that's all I was saying.
Okay.
So hopefully I'm wrong. Hopefully Peter and Sean keep their jobs.
It sounds like you're rooting for this.
I'm not rooting for it.
What is going on here?
Negative coming from you, Evan, right now.
I'm not being negative. I'm just merely repeating that when DeVito lost his job, I thought it was like, wow, look at that. Another person that was there. You're there, too. You're in trouble.
Do you know something I don't know? Am I out?
Well, put it this way. Peter's got nothing to worry about.
Okay.
He's fine. He's not screwed.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. Let's go to Ken in Los Angeles. Hey, Ken.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, man?
So, I was going to the Dodgers-Reds game. I was going to go as a IBO, but now with that tonk, 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 tonk coming up, my Mets juices are flowing. I kind of want a peacock. Should I wear a jersey, or should I not wear a jersey?
This is a really good question because, Ken, I'm usually a believer that when you walk into another ballpark and your team isn't playing, you should show the respect of not wearing that team's jersey. But this is the weird caveat. Because the Dodger-Red game directly affects the New York Mets. The Mets are in a playoff race. We are rooting for the Dodgers. The fact is, though, and this is what I'm concerned about, Dodger fans are idiots. Okay? They're really, really stupid. They're also, and I'm not joking anymore, because the stupid part I was joking about, now I'm going to be serious, they're also pretty violent. And if you show up in a Met jersey, they're too dumb to understand that they're rooting for you. They're rooting for the Dodgers.
Correct.
And so you are going to face negative backlash and have to explain something simple to Dodger fans that they're not going to be able to understand. And that's not worth, A, the stress of explaining it, and then, B, the risk of violence, which is a real thing when you go to Dodger Stadium. So my advice would be don't do it.
And don't chant "Let's go Mets" either.
Why not? Oh, yeah, that one's stupid, too. Because then they you can't do that.
They're not going to understand.
Yeah, and you'll also be by yourself doing it. Like, you'd be the one person saying, "Let's go Mets! Let's go Mets!"
If you do it in the first or second inning, you might literally be by yourself, too.
That is true. Because no one's there till the third inning.
Yep.
This is a good one. We were talking about New York athletes who will eventually work here at WFAN. We obviously have the great Tiki Barber, the great Boomer Esiason, and I mentioned Willie Colon does a great job filling in. Nick and Dobbs Ferry has another intriguing candidate. What's up, Nick?
Hey now, first time listener, long time caller.
Thank
I don't know who's going to be the next host of WFAN, and it can happen within the next 2 years.
Okay.
He will be hosting overnight. nights with Sean Morash, and his name is one Anthony Volpe.
Could you imagine that?
Well, first of all, they Volpe do not have the budget for a co-host situation on the overnight.
They never have.
That's not going to happen.
Volpe and Morash on the Fan. Hey, Anthony, remember when you sucked?
Here's the problem with an Anthony
remember
Volpe.
Remember when you hit 208?
For Anthony Volpe to work here, that's going to take a lot of, like, swallowing pride.
For him, or do you think the audience would have a tough time accepting him? See, the thing about DeVito is he's beloved, and the thing about Sauce is that he has a chance to be an all-time great. And so those candidates can work here. Tiki, all-time great. Boomer, even though he didn't have great success here, is a local guy, was always beloved here. That transition was easy. Anthony Volpe's a local guy who people just don't like right now. He's got to overcome that.
So do you think it has more to do with it? Because I would say, look, like, Dan Orlovsky's carved out a decent media career being on TV and people give him the respect of being able to discuss quarterback play. He ran out of the back of an end zone. Anthony Volpe can't talk sports in New York. It's a problem to swallow the pride of dealing with people are going to criticize you if you get into an argument. And number two, you're going to be working with people.
Volpe and Morash.
Call for you to get cut. How was that ready?
That was quick. If all of a sudden the architect got an email from a man who says, hey, look, I'm a former athlete. I'm from New York. I'd love to work at the Fan. I know a lot about football, a lot about baseball. I'm ready to go. And the email was signed Bobby Bonilla. Do you think that would work? Do you think Bobby Bo could just pop on the air and do 4 hours every day with this audience?
I think he'd have to be self-deprecating about the whole contract.
He'd have to, right?
Like, out front about it within those first couple days where if you could joke about yourself, I think you could make it work.
That is true. He'd have to accept, yeah, I didn't work in New York. Like I bashed the media.
Anthony Volpe would have to be able to joke about the fact that he was a bust.
Right.
Well, if you do that, I think our listeners would accept you.
Speaking of Anthony Volpe, is he back in the starting lineup today? We'll examine the Yankee lineup. We'll take a look at the Met lineup. Sean has issues with the Yankee lineup. We'll address it coming up, plus more of your calls at 888-808-1019, the toll-free number. We were talking about Tommy DeVito. Tommy DeVito was cut because the Giants are carrying three quarterbacks. Not a surprise. Jackson Dart made the team. Jameis Winston made the team. Russell Wilson is the starting quarterback. Training camp coverage on WFAN is brought to you by Geico. Switch and save. Get more with Geico.
Dunkin's $6 meal deal is kind of wild. You get a bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich, six-piece hash browns, and a medium iced or hot coffee. All for $6. That's the main character meal energy you need this fall. Get it now in Dunkin' stores or order ahead on the Dunkin' app. No substitutions. Participation in times may vary. Offer prices varies in California and Hawaii. Limited time offer cannot be combined with other offers. Exclusions and terms apply.
Scones and I were just talking about it. Bobby Bonilla would actually be one of the greatest radio hosts in WFAN history.
You think?
Yeah, we thought about it. Like, he'd be so intriguing to hear.
It's true.
Yeah, remember when I bashed the media and I called up a writer in the middle of the game complaining about an error call? Yeah. I mean, he has a New York experience that Tiki and Boomer can't even relate to.
That's fair.
And they had hell of experiences here.
We've been talking about him for 30 years still. I mean, we're still talking about the guy. How can he not be intriguing?
Imagine this tease from Bobby Bonilla going into break. When we come back, was I playing poker with Ricky Henderson in the middle of the NLCS? And what kind of hand did I have? I'll let you know when we come back. So the Yankees are taking on the Washington Nationals tonight over at Yankee Stadium. Mets taking on the Philadelphia Phillies. Mets are running out the exact same lineup, which is a rarity in this day and age in baseball. But they are facing another lefty in Jesus Luzardo, who did a good job against them last month down in Philadelphia. So same lineup for the Mets. The Yankee lineup is very different. They are facing Mackenzie Gore, the left-hander. Here's your starting lineup, and Sean, tell me what you hate about it. Leading off, Paul Goldschmidt. We know how much he masters left-handed lefty. Pitching.
Right.
I have
no issue. He kills lefties.
Aaron Judge batting second, DH.
Fine.
Cody Bellinger batting third, left field.
Okay.
Giancarlo Stanton, cleanup, right field.
All right.
Trent Grisham batting fifth, center field.
If he's not going to lead off because Goldie's there, feels right.
Ahmed Rosario, third base, batting sixth.
Even if he doesn't mash lefties, which he typically does, Ryan McMahon couldn't hit anything right
now. No, look, the negative is McMahon is a great glove, but right now he's not hitting. And so you want to give yourself a better chance offensively, so you go with Ahmed Rosario. And he does hit lefties. Jazz Chisholm batting seventh at second base.
Red hot.
Anthony Volpe back in the lineup, batting eighth, playing shortstop.
Obviously an issue, but finish out the lineup.
And Austin Wells batting ninth and catching.
Okay, with Luis Gil on the mound. There's two major issues here. First and foremost, I understand there's a day game tomorrow. night game, so Austin Wells is going to play one of these days. I understand that. Ben Rice is hitting the hell out of the baseball. Lefty-righty matchups, whatever you want to throw out there, be damned. Can Ben Rice just catch tonight and let's keep the good times rolling and worry about maybe you play Ben Rice at first base or, dare I say, Judge gets a day to rest or something like that tomorrow and win the game today? Why do we need Austin Wells in there? That's number one. Number two, we brought this up yesterday. No matter what they were playing Anthony Volpe today and sitting Caballero back down, you brought up Pete Alonso last night getting on base and scoring that first run to start. You know who did that for the Yankees last night that started everything?
Jose Caballero!
Right. Fast as hell in the base paths. So basically, I don't believe... Now, he only had one hit. If he had two hits, three hits, I don't believe there was anything Caballero could have done last night that would have gotten Volpe out of the lineup tonight, which was my problem yesterday. Caballero got a hit. Caballero scored their first run of the game. He should still be playing. He is the hot hand. And if you've already done this with Volpe, Volpe goes 0 for 4 tonight. And the 2 days off didn't fix anything. If he does,
yeah,
tough pitching matchup. Does he go right back to the bench tomorrow? Probably not.
Well, there are two things.
That's why I don't like returning him right away.
So there's two things here. There's what we think Aaron Boone is going to do and what we would do.
Right.
Okay, so what I would do is I have no issue with Anthony Volpe playing today. My whole point about Volpe was he should no longer be guaranteed the everyday shortstop job.
I agree with you.
And he should be in the mix. And they are facing a lefty. Volpe has hit left-handers. Like,
I understand.
I'm totally good with him playing. But to answer your question, no, he should not be guaranteed the shortstop job tomorrow. But tomorrow's a different day.
But okay, so I'm...
That's my opinion.
We are in simpatico on this. What we would do and what Aaron Boone would do. I am stressing out because it doesn't take a genius to figure out what Aaron Boone's going to do. He's told us all year he's going to continue to do it.
But are you okay with Anthony Volpe playing today?
I'm not, but I understand it.
Anthony Volpe against left-handed pitching, 270 batting average, 785 OPS. So I'll ask you again. Are you okay with Anthony Volpe playing today?
I'm throwing the stats out. No, I think he needs more time.
Okay. I disagree with you because the way I view Volpe right now is Boone's got to play the best players on a given night to give them a chance to win a baseball game. Anthony Volpe is no longer the best opportunity to win on a nightly basis as the everyday shortstop. But tonight against Mackenzie Gore, a left-hander, he does give them the best opportunity to play. If he goes 0 for 5 tonight, am I guaranteeing him a start tomorrow afternoon? Absolutely not.
All right, so this
That's where things are different. And they are facing a righty tomorrow.
Okay.
So,
but this is where I have an issue, Evan. Everything you're saying is sensible, so that's why I'm not yelling and screaming and fighting you. But it is about what the Yankees are going to do. So if the excuse is Volpe gets back because it's a good matchup, lefty-righty, under a normal circumstance, I agree with you. But that's not the reason he's playing tonight. The reason he's playing is he's already sat 2 days, and they can't wait to get him back out there.
But you know what you're doing that's
He's going to play tomorrow, dude.
But Sean,
can you just acknowledge that?
No, because this is unhealthy, what you're doing right now. You're getting upset about tomorrow today. Can you let the kid play today?
No.
What if he goes 3 for 5? What's your opinion going to be tomorrow?
My opinion is going to be, it's okay, he hit a good pitcher tonight. That's
will
fine.
You play him tomorrow if he goes 3 for 5 tonight with a home run?
Will I play him tomorrow?
I'm asking you. Yeah, forget Aaron Boone for a second. Stop worrying about what Boone's going to decide. I'm asking you, Sean Morash.
I hate this
if
question.
Anthony Volpe
if Anthony Volpe goes 3 for 5, I would play him today because I'm a believer in the hot hand.
Okay, stop right there. So why are you upset about tomorrow when tonight hasn't even happened?
Because we know the Yankees. We know the Yankees. We can pretend we don't know. We know the Yankees, Evan. Just be honest about it.
Why don't we wait to get angry about something until it happens? Like, to me...
Because it's happened all year.
No, it hasn't happened all year.
And you're sitting Caballero, who's playing well.
Sean, when have the Yankees sat Volpe in back-to-back games like this? When have they done that?
They haven't.
When has he done it in his career?
They haven't.
Okay, so then why are you projecting your anger from the last 2.5 years on tonight's starting lineup? Anthony Volpe should play tonight. They gave him 2 days off. Let's see what he does. If he performs, different discussion tomorrow. If he goes 0 for 5 and makes an error, trust me, I will come on this radio, crap we're on after the game, but just imagine fictitiously we're on before the game, and I'd say, what are we doing? How could this guy be in the lineup? But what you're doing right now is so ridiculous. You're getting upset about Wednesday's lineup on Tuesday night.
No, it's not
true. Let the game happen, let the kid play, and then we'll have a discussion tomorrow.
Has Jose Caballero earned the right to continue to play shortstop?
He should definitely play a lot, but I would say, based on the numbers, Volpe should play tonight. He's a 270 hitter against lefties. You're facing a lefty tonight. What am I missing?
First of all, what you're missing is...
780 OPS against left-handed pitching. He's good against lefties. He gives them the best chance to win
tonight. I don't trust him defensively. I don't trust him offensively. Maybe he has a big night versus a lefty, and that's fine. Anthony Volpe was playing tonight despite what Caballero did last night, and that's my issue all along. This was a bogus benching. It was feeding the fans something they wanted.
That's not true.
He's playing tomorrow, dude.
We're not talking about tomorrow.
That's the point.
Why are you angry about tomorrow? Tomorrow hasn't happened yet, man.
I'm angry about tomorrow because it's not a hypothesis. It's who the Yankees are.
But, Sean, you're admitting to me, see, I'm with you, that sometimes you play the hot hand, right? I think what Carlos Mendoza is doing on the Mets side is he's saying, hey, we scored 13 runs. We're facing another lefty. I'm not going to change anything. I'm going to run out the exact same lineup I ran out last night because why change something that worked? I happen to agree with that. I think a lot of people do. What I'm telling you about Volpe is I don't know what my opinion is going to be tomorrow because how he performs today matters. If he gets three hits and I see a response to his benching, then I'd say, play the guy again. If he goes 0 for 5, I'd say, screw it. You're not guaranteed the shortstop job. I'm not going to play you tomorrow. So if you can at least be on my side that tomorrow is an open-ended question, why are you angry about tomorrow when you don't even know what's going to happen today? Does that not make sense in your brain?
No, what you're saying makes sense.
Thank you.
But that's not what the Yankees do.
Oh, my God.
It's not. You can tell me. Yankee fans agree with me, Evan. They're playing Anthony Volpe tomorrow.
I don't care who agrees with you. Right. You're talking illogical. You're getting mad about something
who
that hasn't happened
yet. Who gives
the
Yankees a better chance on a day-in and day-out basis? The guy with 40 stolen bases and Jose Caballero, the guy who every time he clutches a ball, you hold your breath, he's going to complete a throw to first, and a guy who hasn't hit in 4 weeks.
When you phrase
Anthony Volpe hasn't had a hit since training camp opened.
When you phrase it that way, the answer isn't Anthony Volpe, but I am believing that him sitting for multiple days may get him hot. And if I'm right, and it starts tonight, you wouldn't play him tomorrow? So I'll ask you the question again. If Volpe has a good night tonight, couple of hits, couple of good defensive plays, no miscues, do you start him tomorrow afternoon?
Of course I would.
Thank you. I rest my case. Thank you.
But then he will go hitless tomorrow versus a righty.
And then we'll talk about the next day when we get to the next
day. How about you sit him for a week and stop worrying about lefty-righty matchups? How about that?
Because it gives you the best chance to win.
He doesn't.
He's hitting 270 against
lefties. Anthony Volpe stinks. I don't care if his father's listening, his uncle's listening, his guy who makes his roast beef sandwiches in New Jersey is listening. I'm glad he got the opportunity to play shortstop for the Yankees. He stinks. We've seen enough. And he hasn't earned the right to play tonight just because it's a lefty. Stop it.
That's fun. Can I tell you something interesting?
What?
I heard Jake say this on Talking Yankees, and it was a great point, and I wanted to examine it even further. He's like, you see Jazz Chisholm's numbers as a New York Yankee? And I was looking at it. Jazz Chisholm has played 145 games as a New York Yankee. So it's almost a full season, right? Mm-hmm. Not quite, but almost there. You ready for these numbers? Tell me if they're good. Here we go. You ready? 826 OPS.
I'll take that.
250 batting average, 36 home runs, 87 RBIs, 40 stolen bases.
He's been a good Yankee.
He is about to become a 40-40 New York Yankee in 162 games. Is that good?
Chisholm! I don't have a complaint about it.
I'm just curious. Like, that is... it's kind of crazy to think about. His WAR is 5.2, which, by the way, if you're not familiar with WAR, that's a damn good number. And again, he hasn't even played a full 162 as a New York Yankee.
I love Jazz Chisholm. Here's the only issue you have with Jazz, which actually you could turn into a benefit if you opened up your eyes and you were the manager of the team. Hold on.
Are you choking? You all right over there?
I think Anthony Volpe just casted a spell on me.
You yelled at his uncle and his dead great-grandparents.
I feel like the Anthony Volpe defense club's got in. Here's the thing with Jazz. When Jazz is not going well, like, you know within a first pitch if Jazz has no prayer in the at-bat. He gets off balance, swings out of his shoes, or anything like that. And you know on certain nights, if you see that in the first, it's not going to be a Jazz night. I just wish that the Yankees in certain spots were more apt to go, you know what, it's not his night, let's pinch it for him late. Because the overall body work is I play him as much as possible, but he should be a guy on certain nights, throw analytics out the window and just see he's off balance tonight where you go to pinch hit late.
Wow, that's a very extreme opinion.
It could be an issue, but it's just a baseball observant opinion. He makes it obvious when he's got no shot on a certain night.
Jeez. What's next from Sean Morash? Are you going to suggest a Giants quarterback share where maybe Jameis Winston plays a drive, then Russell Wilson plays a drive?
What are you, an idiot?
Then
I think DeVito might be the answer.
Nobody would ever do that.
Could you imagine that?
No, I couldn't.
That sounds like a Tommy hot take.
Loogie!
That sounds like something Tommy may throw at you later this week.
Can we also acknowledge, too? Dude, Tommy's here tomorrow. Tommy's here with me Thursday when you're not here. Tommy was here yesterday.
Yeah, why is he not here today?
He's not here on NFL cutdown day, and today didn't come out of a shock.
Oh, DeVito getting cut.
Today has been on the NFL calendar for well over a month. I mean, it's really been all year, but if you really pay attention, camp started. And the idea of Tommy DeVito being cut, unfortunately, has not really been a surprise. We speculated four quarterbacks. You mean to tell me the guy who had the most Tommy DeVito takes, well, he has no problem pressing the button when I went nuts, magically in the middle of a week, pops out on cutdown Tuesday?
That's a great point. And remember, I wanted Tommy Lugauer to wear the L for his over-the-top Tommy DeVito takes that he's had over the course of the last couple of years. And his refusal, which I agreed with, was, well, it's not over yet. Once it's over, I'll wear the L.
Right.
Well, today is the day where it's over. He got caught. And he's nowhere to be seen. And then tomorrow's a short show because the Yankees have a day game.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like a Jedi mind trick by Lugauer.
No. Biggie.
I hate to put the kibosh on this, and I don't like to defend Tommy.
Go ahead.
I'll be the first guy to say that, but it was more of a scheduling snafu today.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Well, hold on. No.
I was in the middle of.
But he is a full-timer who has the right to cut. He could have said it.
He had the right at first refusal.
And he should have said, you know what, DeVito might get cut. I got to answer for this. And he
that
didn't.
Could very well be the case. But it started with a scheduling snafu.
Well, you know what? I would have made it easier. I haven't taken enough vacation this summer. I just would have taken today off.
Yeah. No could have problem. Gone to another country.
Or another Mets game. Let's go to Ben and Howell. What's going on today, Ben?
Hey, I'm not going to say how you doing because I can't stand it, just like you guys can.
Damn right.
And every guy says, hey, what do you do? How you doing? So I'll just get to the point.
Yes, go ahead,
it's
man.
It's a stupid question, so don't make fun of me.
Okay.
I want to know if you think if they put Volpe first in the lineup one time, it will spark a fire under his butt.
So I'm gonna make you feel better, Ben. I'm gonna make him feel better. This is not as dumb as it sounds. Because just hear me out. No, hold on. Don't yell at me.
I'm turning off my mic because I'm gonna throw you out the window.
Okay. Obviously, Anthony Volpe leading off with his performance this year is a terrible idea. But it's not that long ago where guys like Bobby Valentine would move a slumping hitter into the two hole, not the leadoff spot, the two hole to try to spark something out of a player. So I definitely think that if you put a baseball player struggling as much as Volpe and said, you know what, kid, I'm going to lead you off. There are some benefits that could get a guy out of a batting slump. But the reason you never do it is because it's detrimental to your team. Like, you're not going to put one of your worst hitters in the leadoff spot. So I think it's because he prefaced it by saying, I know it's a stupid question, and I think we should feel comfortable asking weird things around here.
Okay, that's
and having
fine.
Open conversations. Like, obviously, no, you would never lead him off. But it wasn't that long ago where managers would take slumping hitters, bat him second to try to get him going.
And it wasn't that long ago Aaron Judge would have been the cleanup hitter on the Yankees in that sense.
There you go.
Times have changed. You're not getting Anthony Volpe the most at-bats. Hey, goodbye, SNY. Thanks again for joining us. Baseball Night in New York brought to you by a Tri-State Cadillac
dealer. Is Sal working SNY again after taking off from the fan?
I'm not sure.
And again, like, he has a right to do it, but like it just feels like a waste of an off day. I know Sal's doing a remote tomorrow, and he's back on the radio station. And
are you an idiot?
I'm going to promote that remote because it's close to my home. Salt Shack on Ocean Parkway on Long Island, Town of Babylon, my local beach bar. I love that place. Free parking for non-Town of Babylon residents. Go watch him and Jerry Recco tomorrow, 10 a.m.
Right. Oh, Jerry Recco?
Jerry
Recco. What
the
hell does he have to do with this?
It is a Surfside sponsorship.
I know, but Jerry's doing the morning show. He's going to do the morning show and the midday show? Good for him.
I don't think he's doing the morning show now tomorrow.
But you know what? It's the summer. I have no idea.
Yeah.
Anyhow, take a listen tomorrow. That should be a lot of fun.
Yep. There you go.
Did you have something to add to this?
No, that was it. Go out, Long Islanders. Go support the station. Have
a good time. I thought you were going to crush that poor caller for the Anthony Volpe leadoff question.
No, you brought up a good point. I don't want to discourage dumb questions, even if they're dumb.
Well, because, look, I have suggested for a long time that Aaron Judge should lead off. I have certainly suggested earlier in the show and a lot this season that Juan Soto should lead off. And there was a time, and even in some quarters, it still occurs, where if I called up Sports Talk Radio and said, hey, I think Juan Soto should lead off, I'd be called an idiot. Like, if I made that phone call 5 years ago to Mike Frances, who I have great respect for, Mike would have been like, are you kidding me with this? Lead him off, you idiot. And I, by the way, I bet you if I wrote an email to Mike's podcast and said, hey, Mike, I have an idea, Soto should lead off, I bet you he'd still call me an idiot.
Probably.
And speaking of Sal, a caller called up Sal, and I wasn't mad at Sal about this. I was mad at Hoffman about this because Pete does the Rico with me. He knows my thinking. So a guy called up Sal and said, hey, I got an idea. They should lead off Soto. And Licata said, you're an idiot. That's a horrible idea. Okay, fine. Like I said, old school thinking. I wasn't there to argue with him about it. I would have. But Hoffman just sat there. And I'm like, Pete, you've agreed with me that Soto should lead off. Can you at least explain gently to Sal why, even if you don't agree with it, it's not an idiotic opinion?
So what do you think there are? You think there's two Hoffs? There's BT and Sal Hoff, and there's the Rico Hoff?
Yeah.
You scared to get in the middle of it on BT and Sal?
I think there's two different Hoffs. I am very afraid to take this next call.
Are you taking the call that I'm looking at on the board?
Hold on a second. I made a sarcastic, joking comment 5 minutes ago. And the joking, sarcastic comment was, after Sean said something dopey, hey, what are you going to say next? The Giants should have a quarterback share program? And then we jokingly laughed and said, it's like something Tommy would say. Well, Diego in East Meadow would like to further this discussion. What's up, Diego?
Hey, boys, what's up?
What's up, man?
So when I heard it, I thought that you guys were going to reference what I was calling about. But over the weekend, Tommy Lugauer hosted a show. He bashed the Yankees a lot, so maybe this is why I'm throwing him under the bus.
That's fine.
But he pitched that the Giants should keep Tommy DeVito, go with four quarterbacks, play one quarterback each quarter, and then just ride out the hot hand. Go check the tape. That was his pitch.
So my sarcastic comment was based in the reality of a Tommy idea. I'm afraid for myself.
What are
my brain is now moving towards Tommy's delusions.
There's two things.
And I was joking.
First of all, even as stupid as the idea is,
sure,
it's not even legal.
Oh, yeah, you can't even have four quarterbacks on your
roster. Well, you can have four quarterbacks
on your roster. You just can't. Yeah. You can't keep them active?
Yes, that's it.
What's the limit on active quarterbacks? Three?
I believe three is active, but you have to declare the third one as an emergency. Like you have to.
So you can't, even if you kept.
Unless I'm wrong. I'm pretty sure you have to declare that on a depth chart legality.
Well, here's my question, because I don't know the answer to this. And obviously a team wouldn't do this, so let's just walk through this. It's kind of it's like the Patrick Mahomes trade idea that we were having fun with about, it's not legal, but let's talk about it anyway. If you decided to keep less offensive linemen or less safeties on your active 45, could you carry four active quarterbacks? Like, is there a rule against that? The way in baseball you can't carry more than 13 pitchers?
I guess they could fill a role as like Tebow did, right? As a gunner on special
teams. I bet you could get around that.
There's got to be some kind of loop. But for the most part, the way I understood it was, or maybe it's just you could dress a third that doesn't have to be on your 53.
Right.
Maybe
I think that's what it is. I'm sure there's a way you could actually do it. But let's not miss the point here.
Yeah.
My sarcasm and joke was actually real. I didn't know that.
I have a theory, and I hate to do this because he's not here to defend himself. Is he taking a dive?
What?
We work hard here at WFAN, and some of us end up sometimes adding and doing a six show a week on the weekend.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've done plenty. Tommy does a lot of them, and I think that's great when you're able to do them to do them. Tommy's done a lot of them this summer. When you have a take like that, that feels like Costanza driving around with the World Series trophy in the parking lot at Yankee Stadium.
So you think Tommy is now offering such off-the-beat opinions because he doesn't want to be asked or coerced to do shifts on WFAN? He's taking a dive?
I think that's a better answer than him being serious. Like, one of two things is true. Either he's serious and he's a bigger idiot than we give him credit for, or he's genius, and he's like, I'm just gonna keep saying stuff like this and hope they stop asking me to work Saturdays. I think he's taking a dive.
Now, Paul Rosenberg, who has done a fine job producing this show, is also very close with Tommy. I think they were roommates at one time. Is that even true, Rosie, or did I just completely make that up?
I'm trying to find the audio now. You got it.
No, don't worry about the audio. Don't worry about that.
Did he say it?
I'm sure he said it. Diego listens to the station all the time. My question to you, though, Paul, is he wasn't listening, so you know what? I'm not going to waste my time now. I apologize. Your opportunity to see if Sean was right or wrong is gone.
But Diego could have heard something out of context. If Paulie was producing, he'd be able to tell us, did Tommy definitively say this was a plan?
All right, here we go. Ready?
Yes.
Giants and Brian Daboll set up a four-man rotation at quarterback. So you have four quarterbacks. Russell Wilson starts the first
Come on.
Four games or so. Jameis Winston starts the next four
That's not as bad.
Tommy DeVito.
That's completely different.
No, keep it. Let me like, is it over? Was that his overall
opinion?
Where
most Giant fans, and I think the organization want to be,
yes, I think
Jackson Dart starting the last couple games at home. I think the Giants last three out of four games off the bye at home. Jackson Dart starting at quarterback. So everybody keeps their job. You keep your four quarterbacks. You do a four-man rotation like it's baseball. Russell Wilson, the first couple games, first four or so. Jameis, the next four or so. DeVito, the next four or so. And you end with the closer there in Jackson Dart.
Can I defend them now? Obviously, it's a horrible idea still, but it's not as bad as the quarter idea. You play one quarter, you play another quarter.
This is the depths of insanity I didn't wish to be in. You're right. That is less insane than what Diego said.
Right.
But it is still disgustingly insane.
Gotcha.
So, all right, so Russell Wilson wins the four. We still stick him at this rotation.
Right.
And also, a four-man rotation would mean start one, then the next one starts game two.
Right.
And then you go back to Russell Wilson in game five.
Yeah, you're not doing it in bunches.
Yeah.
So do you still agree with your initial opinion that Tommy is tanking to not be offered shifts anymore?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a tank.
All right. Fair enough.